All right. So, you've done some changing, you've done some shifting, releasing, and healing. Now that's the old stuff. So now we're going to turn our attention to new stuff, present to future, building a healing relationship. Healing the old ones are very important, and so we would recommend that you continue a healing process, perhaps to put together a list, the pad and a pen, and writing down the top 10 relationships of your past. Doesn't matter what type, what form they came in, but the top 10, as far as the amount of impact on your life, as far as the amount of intensity or the amount of discomfort or pain, or because you gave certain people in your life the privilege of doing certain key pieces of reflection for you in your process. And so if you can identify your top 10, we would suggest doing the process that we took you through earlier, and just to go down the list and do one at a time, and until you're clear all the way through. Now, you'll find after you go about 5 or 6 through the list, it starts to become more accelerative. It starts to be more cumulative, in a sense that you're feeling the impact through all of your relationships. And by the time you get to the very end of the list, and of course, if you have more, you know, be our guest, but you really don't need to do more than 10 generally, because by that time you have felt the shift 10 times and you just have lifted to a new level of vibration, your resonance. That's the cumulative, composite, integrated body of frequencies that your aura is, that your energy body is, will be resonating at a very high, humming, light state of being. Arts can be feeling very, very free, very, very fun. This is a state that you're wanting to have 24/7 while you're in a relationship, in the process of interacting with someone, being with someone through everything that can go on, all the possibilities, all the options, all the changes that go on in a typical relationship that has any substance or depth to it. So healing the past can get you to a certain frequency level, certain likeness, a certain level that is your key, that this is what you want to sustain and expand upon in your relationships. Always. Because as you do that, of course, you're also owning more and more of who you are. And so your energy field is expanding. Your aura is expanding. Your presence and the impact that you have on your reality will become much more visible. Because at first you'll just see, oh yeah, what I think and feel and believe and all that, yeah, it does have some influence. That's the first glimmer that you get, that you do create it all. But as you get into it more and more and start looking at the relationships as your mirror, as the opportunity to show you, hey, this relationship is showing me that I'm giving my power away, so let me take my power back. Or this relationship is showing me how I tend to just slide right back into child automatically, knee-jerk. Oh my gosh, let me stop doing that. Let me see what it feels like to stay adult in this relationship. As you use the mirrors as your feedback for yourself and keep reclaiming who you are, you will find that your quality of relationships, the ones you're in currently, and of friends, of lovers, family members, will continue to improve. But what's really exciting also are the new people that come into your energy field, the new people that are drawn into your reality. Sometimes you will not allow new people to come into your life until you've gotten your resonance up to a certain level. There's a part of you that knows that if you don't get it up there, then you're just going to attract some people on a mid-range, and you're probably going to get reflections, oh gosh, here's some more stuff I haven't really, you know, taken care of, that old stuff. But that's not because you haven't really cleared the old stuff, but because if your resonance isn't high, then you're going to be reflected that the resonance isn't high. Get your resonance up. Come on, lift your frequencies. Come on, get yourself to a place of lightness. Own who you are. Recognize yourself as a divine light being. Come on, let's do it. And that's the way you can see exactly, in a sense, where you are in relationship to where you are intending to go. Because you want to have a relationship where you can feel and own and experience at any depth that you choose, and generally very, very deeply, all the way through your core, hopefully, that love. The closest thing to divine love is love between you and another in the physical plane. It can be a very dim reflection, even at its best, of what it is when you are at one moment with God, Goddess, all that is, and in the oneness of all things. However, it is definitely a place you want to be. Not to be looked down upon, not to be seen as insignificant. It is powerfully significant, a major step of your spiritual development. So raising your resonance is always going to be a first thing to attract to yourself the opportunities to take your power, to hold and sustain your awareness of who you are in your power as a powerful reality creator. To continuously take responsibility for your reality. Not blame, but responsibility. Responsibility means, hey, look, I can respond in a certain way as a powerful light being, and I can start shifting this reality right now. In your personal life, and it will expand into your world. Now, if you would like to have a love relationship in your life and you don't have one at this time, know that whatever level of frequency you can sustain, how much clearing and freedom you can own of the work that you do, kind of like what we did today, the more interesting a partner you can attract. Now, you're not going to have that quote-unquote, kismet, that, oh my, this is fate. Oh, the intensity of it. Oh, wow, I'm head over heels in love and awe. Because that is a program that you gave yourself to attract yourself to somebody who would reflect to you the issues you needed to work on. So what you want to look for is something a lot more subtle. You want to look for certain qualities of being in that person and in yourself when you're around that person to get feedback. First thing we would suggest, which is a clue, and it's something, the first thing for you to establish for yourself in a new relationship. And if you are in the process of healing and working with and lifting an old relationship between a lover or family member or whomever, you want to focus on this first. Not just, you know, focus first, of course, yes, on getting your frequency up, but then in the actual process of the relationship, as you're in a relationship, this is the first place you go, is to safety. Just as those of you who know about the chakra system know that the root chakra, which is generally called chakra number one, the root chakra, your grounding, your foundation, has to do with issues of security. Security, groundedness, earthiness, is kind of your anchor. And from there, you have a point of orientation. So it is also true in a relationship. If you can recognize that you are safe, you are a powerful reality creator. You are safe. And therefore, you can embark upon and enter into a relationship without fear. And one of the things you want to do first in that relationship is to make sure that the other person also has the opportunity to feel safe. You feel safe, the other person feels safe, you can create a foundation for a glorious and caring and loving, fun relationship. Now, how do you do that? First of all, and the most important thing, is that you must end all judgment. Clear. All judgments. Practice being out in public with people and not judging them. Pay attention, first of all, what you think. You see a person who's like holding a big ice cream cone and is about 50 pounds overweight. Are you going to judge that person? Look, they're so overweight, they should not be eating that ice cream cone. Are you going to judge them? Or you see a parent yelling at their child who's putting on a temper tantrum. And you say, they're not doing it right. They should be more caring about that child. They should respond this way. They should do that. That's effectively a judgment, saying they're not doing it the right way. Or a person wearing outdated clothing or a strange hairstyle or doing and saying stuff that may appear stupid or that you want to judge. Be aware. How do you judge people? Under what criterion are you judging them? What do you want people to be? What is a perfect person? So you've got some kind of judgment of what perfection is. You know, this is your adolescent and young adult acting up. The adolescent is very judgmental generally. And of themselves as well. And if you are judgmental of yourself, if you are out in a public place and you go into a bathroom and, oh, you catch a sight of yourself in the mirror and you're judgmental of yourself, pay attention. Judgments must go. Judgments are what create lack of safety. No relationship can ever build a foundation of trust, which allows you to open up and be yourself, until that foundation of safety is there. And most relationships have to deal with the healing of the shame issue. And the most painful aspect of the shame issue will emerge, and the most virulent or the most strong of all the reactions in a relationship will occur if the person is feeling shamed. And most people feel shamed when they're judged. If a person judges you, you're not going to feel safe being yourself with that person. You're going to exercise caution. That's going to be a fear alarm is going to go off in your mind. If the person looks at you disapprovingly, it might be enough for you to never, ever pursue a relationship with that person. So recognize that if you're judging somebody else, you could be pushing away a wonderful, wonderful relationship. So practice looking at people as light beings. Practice looking at them as being precious, beloved, beautiful souls, powerful reality creators in their own right. Look at them as being God, Goddess, all that is, a point of light in the body of God, Goddess, all that is, like you. Acknowledge yourself and acknowledge them. If you can interact with people from that position without judgment, you can have so much fun. People will just pop into your life and you will laugh and you will have a great time. No matter where you are, you will find people who will care, who will love you, who will offer you resources, who will befriend you, who can have a wonderful conversation with standing in a shopping line. Your life will be blessed and touched by love. Everywhere, it's everywhere. Everyone is looking for it, and everyone is capable of loving, including yourself. So when you take that off, you open the door. In a relationship that you're already in, start practicing dismantling all the judgments. If you have resentments or you have built up emotions about the person, then do the process that we did earlier. All right? Clear your child, your adolescent, your young adult out of the relationship. They don't belong in your adult relationships. They don't belong in their consulting with you. You're not going to use their resources any longer. You're going to adventure. You're going to explore and find your own resources. First thing, security, safety. You want the person to feel secure. And you want yourself to remain secure. The second piece, if it's a love relationship, a romantic relationship, there's going to be a certain opportunity for passion in the form of sensuality, sexuality. It's always got to be considered somewhere. Where do you stand about it? Well, here's, you know, my level of sexuality, and this is what I like, and so on. Very often that this is considered a situation of great intimacy. And that's where you open up. But before you can actually get to that, in a love relationship, you need to look out what your image is and what image they are presenting. Your self-image is critical here. Because if you have a self-image that of a person who is cautious, who is afraid of something, who is afraid of being hurt, who doesn't feel that they're that worthy or that interesting, that they've got to provide everything in the relationship or earn another person's approval or love. If you have a certain projection of that on yourself, this is where you need to remove all of that. Because as you start a relationship, the natural evolution of a relationship is to go for the love. Every relationship, unless it's deliberately stalled or reversed, will move forward to more love. And in order to get there, you're going to have more intimacy, more depth of connection. It's going to go deeper. The relationship wants to go deeper. You can be in a relationship for 20, 30 more years or more, and the relationship can continue to go deeper. You can continue to have more love. You can continue to find more. But your self-image is what limits it. The self-image you were given or that you adopted of yourself when you were an adolescent at puberty can almost influence the rest of your life. So you need to make sure you're not perceiving yourself as an adolescent. When you look in the mirror, you don't look at yourself as an adolescent through adolescent eyes. Make sure you're looking at yourself through adult eyes and make sure that you see where you perceive yourself to be as a man, as a woman. And hold that image with pride, not a pride that is negative and puffed up ego pride, but a sense of pride and dignity for yourself as a soul. And then look out, use your sexuality, your sensuality, your capacity to express love through your body. How alive is your body? Is your body shut down? Or is your body wanting to open, feel, move energy? In a relationship, you have a relationship with another person in your body, in a body, two bodies. All right, so your spirit souls connect. Now you got to get your bodies connecting. If it is not a romantic relationship, but it is a family relationship or a friendship or even a business situation, what you want to do is to get into synchronicity with that person. Get your body into sync with that body. Any of you who have studied neuro-linguistic programming or NLP, which is quite the rave, back in the mid to late 80s. It was a system whereby you could identify whether a person was a visual person or an audio person or a kinesthetic person. And you can tell by the languages they use and by the way they move their body. Kinesthetic people are going to move their body a lot when they talk. Their whole body can move when they talk. Because for them to speak, the energy is going to move through their body, so their body's just got to react and move. Visual people, it can come straight into here at the third eye and throat and just go straight out from there. It's like the body doesn't have to be so involved. It's like talking heads. You know, it's like watching the news and there's the anchor person. And the anchor person tilts their head and, you know, moves their shoulder a little bit and so on as they read the news to kind of look like they're not sitting there immobile. A visual person may not move their body that much. Or if they do, they'll do emphases just occasionally here and there. An audio person really is into the stories. If the person starts telling stories, as soon as you start having a conversation with them, they want to tell stories, you've got an audio person. Because that's the way they connect with people. It's through storytelling. The visual person is going to have information. It's going to be more precise. It may be even have abbreviated terms. They may appear to be more clever or witty in their languaging. The kinesthetic person is going to take a long time to get around to the topic, but they're going to look at this part and they're going to look at that part and they're going to bring things together and weave them together. So when you're with a visual person, you're going to quicken your pace of response. When you're with an audio person, you're going to tell stories to connect. When you are with a kinesthetic person, you want to do something physical together. You want to flow with their body, pace your body with their body, so that they feel connected, so you feel connected with them. You can play with that. That's a way of just getting into synchronicity. And you can only do it really well if you're clear about who you are. Otherwise, you get trapped into being aware of them and losing awareness of yourself. But see it as a dance. Two beings in a body dancing. All right. Then there's a communication. Communication only works really well in a healthy, vibrant, healing-styled relationship if you don't lose your power when you're communicating. If you give your power to the other person, then what you communicate to them is going to be manipulative. It's going to wheedle them into something. You could whine. You could get in all those tones of voices that drive them nuts. You know, if you're in a relationship that has some problems, you know, a family situation, you'll notice that there's certain tones of voice that really get you. When you communicate, make sure you're in your power so you don't play those tones of voice. Because those are generally invitations to game patterns, invitations to sliding back into parent, child, or codependency. You want to communicate with respect. Doesn't mean that you limit yourself for their benefit. Respect means is that you listen to them and you hear between the lines, so to speak, what they're feeling, and you feel and you respect yourself. Communion is reaching a point together, getting on the same page, communicating, being honest in your communication, but loving. You see, so many times people say, I'm brutally honest. Brutally honest is really just another way of saying that you think that you're saying the truth and you're loading it with a judgment somewhere. Keep off that one. That doesn't work. That's an invitation. Would you like to have a codependent relationship with me? You don't want to go there. The honesty we're talking about is, here's what I'm feeling right now. No judging, no blaming. This is just what I'm feeling right now. And so from this place, here's what I would like to say or do. Stay honest. Now, we know that at the beginning of a relationship, before you really have the opportunity to trust, you may not feel free to really reveal that much. Reveal only that which you feel is necessary, and do the rest of your time, spend it listening. So many people are really good communicators when it comes out of there to the other person. What you want to do is hear what they are saying. Listen. Listen to the other person. Give them impact for what they say. And if they don't give you impact, and if they don't hear what you're saying, if they're not willing to hear what you have to say, you demand it. Hello? Now listen to me. I listen to you, so I feel that it would be really nice if you'd listen to me now. Hear what I have to say. You see, if you say something and they go defensive, they're taking it as a judgment. And you need to say, look, there's no judgment implied. If that's true, of course. What I'm wanting to say is, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I would like to say. No judgment implied. Sorry that you take it that way. Or if they seem to imply judgment, you can say, wait a minute, that kind of doesn't feel good to me. Stand up for yourself. Speak from your heart. Stay with it. So many of you have come to open your hearts to give love to the earth as well as to yourself, to humanity as well as to yourself. So communicate as equals, powerful. Respect that they are powerful, they can make choices, so can you. You have your will, they have theirs, and you can negotiate it. A good relationship is based on negotiation all the time. It may get really onerous. It may be tiring. Oh, we have to negotiate every detail. I'm so tired of this. If that's what you have to do to stay clear with each other and not get irritated and agitated, then that's what you do. You negotiate everything. Negotiation does not mean compromise. It means this is what I would prefer. That's what you prefer. It happens to be different. Let me look at your preference through as much as I can through your eyes. You look at my preference as much as you can through my eyes. Let's get together and just kind of see where we're coming from and see where we're at. And see if we look through each other's perspectives. Maybe we can find a good win-win. Try that. Try imagining that your partner has your best interest at heart, but that sometimes they're not aware of it because they're trying very much to put their own best interest at heart, and they may be automatically falling into a pattern where they are, you know, benefiting themselves at the cost to you. Don't let that happen. Start looking at, why would they do that? Not necessarily to act like a therapist or to shrink them, as they would say, but to understand that maybe they are feeling nervous and that this helps them feel more calm and comfortable. Now, you don't have to talk about that, but if you can perceive that, then you can come from a place of giving them greater safety. You can stay aware of that. And after a while, as they get safer, the way they communicate with you will change. It'll be easier. Negotiations will be more simple. They will be able to look through your eyes. You'll be able to explain where you're coming from without any dissension. This is another point of view. This is another way of looking at it. A healing relationship is one in which both anticipate that they're going to find a win-win situation. And with that anticipation, they trust that they are going to find it somehow. if you start to practice the anticipation, okay, where is the win-win? Where is the place where we dance in love? Where is that place that we can come together? Your communication will lead you there. Everything that you say will move you towards that direction. Then there comes a point where you open to intimacy. Not sex, just sexual intimacy in a lover relationship. But the intimacy we are talking about is intimacy into your soul. Intimacy into who you are. There comes a point where the other is going to look into you and they're going to see the places about yourself where you've held your shame. They're going to see the places where you fear maybe you're not going to pull it off well, or that maybe things are not going to work well because you're not capable of whatever it is. Any hidden places of shame at that point of intimacy are exposed. So recognize, if you want a really, really good relationship, you need to go and look at your shame and keep weeding it out. Every time you move to a new level of understanding, a new level of joy, a new level of bliss, old shame has to come out. You say, well, wait a minute, aren't I beyond the shame? You won't be beyond the shame for a long time. Because the thing is that you're the owner of this fantastic castle with many, many rooms, but you've only been living in a few of these rooms, as if you were just the chambermaid and not the queen or king of the palace. As you grow, you open up new rooms and claim them for yourself. You expand your area of life and reality. And every time you open up a new room, you have to clean out the cobwebs that are there. So every time you find yourself moving to a new level, reflections of shame will show up. Don't get freaked out. Don't think, oh my gosh, what happened? Here I was just doing fine. All of a sudden now I'm acting like a child. I'm going into adolescence again. I'm getting a reflection that something's wrong with me. What's going on? You went to a new level. You're cleaning out a new room. Realize that you've done the process and that you don't have to go through all of that stuff again. You don't have to evaluate. You say, oh, old shame stuff. Oh, okay. I'm going to remember who I am, remind myself, and I'm going to forgive myself for carrying all this old load of shame, and I'm going to let it go. A really healthy, healing relationship is continuously healing itself. It's continuously allowing both partners to go to new levels and continuously allowing both of them to see the ugly stuff, so to speak, in the new room that's been opened up and to let it go. So many times in the old format, we talked about it, that the relationship is bills and there's the honeymoon and so on, but things start to show up. The old patterns start to show up and you dismiss them and go on good behavior thinking that maybe it'll pass. That's the dangerous thing to do. The positive healing thing to do, the healthy thing to do, is to see it, oh, this has to be released. And I have compassion for myself, and I don't identify with it. It is simply strategy, old stuff. It's not me. So I can let it go now. I'm not inadequate anymore. Oh, yeah, sometimes I do ditzy, stupid stuff. But that doesn't mean I'm ditzy and stupid. Doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It just means that I might have gotten scattered at some point. I'm very forgiving. No judgment, right? Remember, no judgment to yourself. So keep the process alive, because when you do that, you enter into, with your power and your will, you enter into choice. And then you choose this relationship. You can choose every day, choose your relationship. Wake up in the morning and say, I choose, have a great relationship today. I choose again today to stay with this person. I choose today to remain a friend of this person. I choose. It's choice. Absolutely choice. That is what is a foundation of a commitment. A commitment to be a friend, a lover. A commitment to love. Now, that commitment to love does not come with any form. It does not come with performance. Or things you've got to do for the other person, or a certain person you're supposed to be for them. It's choice. They have power of choice. You have power of choice. You can end the relationship when you both choose. If you make an agreement at the beginning of a relationship, look, both of us are a little bit leery about commitments because they haven't worked out before in the way we would like them to be. So let's do this. Let's commit for 6 months. The commitment we make for 6 months is that if we have any problem, we talk it through or we work it out or we clean it or we process it ourselves or somehow or another, we stay current for 6 months. And then let's reevaluate at the end of 6 months and see if that was a successful experiment. You can do that with a relationship that's ongoing. I'd like to commit for the next 3 months that anything that comes up on either side, any complaint, any issue, that we just clear it together. It's our project together. Together we will deal with this stuff. You don't have to do it all by yourself. You don't have to hide it or stuff it or pretend it's not there. Deny it. You don't have to do that. Together, let's go and deal with it. Have compassion for the other. Remember, you're not judging. So you can have compassion for the person. And not compassion from some snooty higher point looking down, saying, oh gosh, you know, oh you poor thing, that you have to deal with this. Ugh. Don't go there. The compassion is, wow, look, this is a juicy issue piece. And they're going to tackle it as a human being that they are and the light being that they are. And I'm going to be in there and I'm going to give them all the support I can. And if you can make a commitment to do it both ways, it can be the most phenomenally accelerative, absolutely glorious love expansion you've ever experienced. From that commitment, from that bonding that happens heart to heart, open to open, the vulnerability, you entrust your heart to this other person. In fact, when you get to this stage in a relationship, you essentially, by choice, as a powerful act, you give them, actually, the capacity to hurt you. If they were to turn on you, they could really get you. They could really stab the knife in and twist it around and you could be devastated. But if you build enough trust and safety and love, you can open your heart enough to trust that that's not so. You can trust your heart with them. If they've not shown themselves to be worthy of your trust, of course, don't do it. Until you've negotiated or until you've established something to the point to where you can trust them. If your partner, either friend or lover, betrays you or betrays your trust, goes behind your back, do something very undermining and very painful for you, this is probably the most damaging thing that can be done in a relationship. Because getting that trust back is going to take a lot of work. They're going to have to really show that they're willing to step up to the plate and really be there and be for you, be there for you, and you for them. And you have to rebuild from scratch safety, non-judgmentalness, trust. It's a very tricky road. Few people can really do that really well. But if you are a person who is creating a healing relationship and something like that happens, you can possibly begin to not take it personally. They probably did that because of some stupid reason that you don't understand about them. And they may even be as shocked as you are at the impact that it has on you. So you want to negotiate it You want to look at it through their eyes to see what motivated them, understand them, forgive them, clear them, do the whole healing, clearing process. And express yourself until you're clear, and then begin to build the safety. And sometimes it takes years to do. It's not an easy thing to repair a broken trust. But sometimes it's not really a trust to begin with. Actually, sometimes it's just a form. Like, for example, in a love relationship, in a romantic relationship, sexual fidelity. Sexual fidelity in your culture is considered a major component of a successful love relationship. But sexual fidelity was established in relationship in times of tremendous domination. It was done in tribal societies and in early cultural law-based societies in order to establish inheritance. The woman is not to go out and have sex with somebody else and have a child by somebody else. The man goes out and has sex and has children elsewhere. This is going to be a threat to the inheritance of the first children by the official wife. These kind of sticky things created the need for laws to keep people from doing that, or to create the institution of marriage, for example, so there is a technical or legal precedent as to who gets to inherit the money or the property, who gets to be called officially, you know, the one to whom the inheritance falls, to carry the family name, the family lineage forward. Who is the official people to do that? So it was all majorly a contraption of a law or social mores in order to establish a domination of a particular family circumstance to keep the money in the family, to, you know, to manipulate those kinds of things. So sexual fidelity, though, now is seen, sexual infidelity, in fact, is seen as something very undermining to the relationship. Even if there is no inheritance, even if there is no, are no children, even if there is no threat, in a way, to the family. But it must be understood, and it must be negotiated. And it's probably the most tricky thing to recover from, because people take that as a breachment of trust. And it may be. And then again, it may not. Some people are very natural needing more than one partner. And they will love one and have sex also with another. And they can separate that. Some people can't do it. Some people can. It must be negotiated. Every situation needs to be negotiated. If it's done with love and care, you can rebuild it. And if not, then it just creates misery and unhappiness and fear. And love and fear don't coexist very well together. You don't heal with tension and fear. I wonder if that person's going to leave me. That brings us to fighting fair. Because you are going to come to places where you disagree and you're going to fight about it. You're going to get your tempers up. You're going to raise your voices. Because why? When you're really angry, it means it's important to you. That's a mirror to you, reflection. Important, important. This is making you really angry. It's important. Pay attention. What is it you're really angry about? If you can learn to be angry without taking what the other person says personally, you can respond in your powerful adult. And you can say, I feel angry because when you say those kinds of things or do those kinds of things, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I feel you're doing, or this is what I'm feeling that is being done to me, and I know that I am allowing this. I know I'm a reality creator here. So I'm out this, I'm having to look at this, but it's uncomfortable, and I feel like somehow a boundary I have, or a boundary of respect has been abridged, has been crossed. Fight fair. Don't threaten to leave. Don't demand to be right. You can demand all the day, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, and you'll have no happiness in your relationship at all. Doesn't mean you have to say, oh, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. No, that doesn't work either. Don't give your power away, and don't expect the other person to give power to you. Fight fair. Listen to both people. Let both of you get whatever it is on your chest out. And whatever, there's going to be side issues. So you go to main issue, side issue. You may have to do 3 side issues before you can come back to main issue. Side issues. You will never listen to me. Side issue. This is too important, and this has a lot to do with my process, and I think I've got to deal with this, and you really got to give me some space on this, and blah, blah, blah. You can help me with this. You know, then you get back to the thing that you're really arguing about. Make sure you cover all the bases. So every issue, side issues and major issue, are covered. Never expect the other person to change. You cannot change anybody. Don't go into relationship thinking you can change them. That sets you up to codependency right off the bat. Oh, they have this problem, but maybe I can change them. Maybe I'll fix them. Danger, danger, danger. If you're trying to change somebody, you're also judging them. Get off the judgment and stop changing them. And don't threaten to leave. Don't create the codependency energy, which says, if you displease me too much, I'm going to leave. So there. Ha ha. Ultimate manipulation. See, I'm going to leave, so I'm manipulating you that you have to kowtow now and be quiet and zip it and be nice to me. Ha ha, gotcha. Don't let anyone do that to you, and don't do it to anyone else. And if somebody does do it to you, stand up to them and say, I refuse to be treated like that. Sometimes that's the most important thing you can do in an argument. If somebody's being mean and judgmental to you, and just losing control and getting into it, all the issues and throwing garbage at you, saying things that are really not necessarily that true about you. Say, wait a minute, I don't deserve to be treated like this. If they treat you badly, stand up for yourself. Sometimes they're not aware that they're treating you badly. They're just picking up stuff automatically from their adolescent for the day. Give your partner some rope. Don't be on top of them all the time. Don't be the easily offended sort. That's a manipulative position. Don't get bent out of shape with every little thing they say or the way they look at you. If you find yourself getting bent out of shape about that, you have some processing to do. It's your issue, not theirs. You see, and if you do it with them and control and manipulate them, don't expect to have them really love you openly and warmly and completely. They're too afraid of you. Fear and love don't mix that well. No fear. Take the fear out. Create safety every day. Create safety every day. Look for how you can continue to create safety in your relationship. And then finally, be yourself in the relationship. Don't be anybody else. Don't try to shape the relationship around any kind of ideal or form. Be present. Sometimes the biggest gift of healing in a relationship is for the two of you to be present with each other. And if the other person is not really has no clue how to be present, you may have to just be present a while and see how they respond, because sometimes people will go, oh, cool, and it will open them up, and they will come and be more. They will lift. They will join you. There'll be so much more. Be present. If you have an argument, you have a disagreement, and you're kind of fuming, and you're kind of not really quite figured out what the core of it was, and you're kind of not in a good mood, or that one of you refuses to argue and refuses to negotiate, and so it's unresolved, make an agreement with each other to resolve everything before you go to bed at night, so that emotion and all that debris just doesn't go sinking down in your subconscious and unconscious, only to load up and pile up and whammy you later. If you can make an agreement to talk about whatever it is, in fact, the channel and Daniel had this arrangement, and they still do, basically, is if there's an issue that you have with the other, you need to bring it up and have a discussion on it within 3 days. While it's still relatively fresh and you can talk about it. Do not bring up what happened 2 weeks ago. Do not bring up what happened 3 months ago. Do not bring up what happened the day before that 3-day period. Some other issue. Don't bring up that. Oh, you always do this kind of thing. See, last week you did blah, 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 blah. Do not bring up something that's in the past to argue over again. You're using it as ammo. You're using it as additional weight to push your idea or your way of seeing it through, to manipulate them. You're putting them at a disadvantage because they may not even remember it. And they won't remember every detail of what you said and what they said and whatnot. They won't feel it's not fair. It's not fighting fair. Be present. Keep current. If you keep current, you won't go into parent-child dynamics. Keep current. If you don't process it together in 3 days, here's what the arrangement they made, you got to process it on your own. And you can do that. You can have a little visualization, bring them up in your meditation, tell them off, blow them up, forgive them, you know, whatever. Till you get clear, totally clear. It's up to you. If you don't bring it up, then you'll have to process it. Don't bring it up later. And if they refuse to talk about it, then you got to process it. And stop whining about how unfair that is. You're the one that's going to stay clear. If they want to hold on to it, that's their issue. You cannot expect them to change, or you cannot expect them to be a certain person. You know, if you have a lot of fun in your life and you're light and you're free and you're happy, because you're love in yourself and you're loving being who you are, there will come a point, if you don't shame them, judge them, if you make it totally safe for them to be there with you, you invite them to negotiate an issue with you, you invite them to participate with you, and you don't judge them if they say no, okay. It'd be really cool, so I just wanted to offer you the opportunity. If you're having a lot of fun, eventually they'll say, you know, this person's on to something, and maybe I'll do a little bit because it's safe to do it. So many people in shame refuse to even talk about any issues in a relationship because they're so afraid they're going to come out looking bad and be judged. But if you make it safe enough for them, eventually you can stay present and current. Then the relationship is healing on a day-to-day basis. You feel better every day you're with them. You can go deeper and experience more love and feel more grandeur of your own light. These are the tips, quote-unquote, for building a healthy, dynamic, loving relationship. Now, undoubtedly, there are going to be more pieces, but these are foundational pieces. Every day, it's your choice. Every day, you stay current with who you are, what you feel, and what you think. You keep yourself current emotionally and keep clearing all the old debris as it keeps coming out. You'll find what a healing process it is. After a while, it actually becomes very intriguing, very interesting. Oh, now look how that showed up. You'll see it in your dreams. You'll get the messages in your meditations. Your life will be connected to the oneness. It'll be connected to the knowing, to the spiritual planes. You'll be connected more to who you are. You'll be receiving more support and love than ever before. And of course, then your reality will change. Your reality will shift. Healing relationships. Relationships that are healing. They're freeing. You can be yourself. And who you are is something fantastic. Now, what we'd like to do at this time is we'd like to conclude with a very short, kind of potent meditation. We want to go and install into your future this wondrous healing relationship energy. So let yourself find your place, wherever it may be. You want to get comfortable for your meditation. And let yourself relax and pay attention. And once again, let yourself go now to that place of safety and upliftment. You went once before. We'll meet you there because we've been with you all along. At the count of one, you'll be there and we'll be with you. 3, 2, 1. Being there in that beautiful place. Feel the peace. Let yourself imagine feeling safe, feeling love, loving. Let yourself feel your power. Recognize yourself as a powerful light being, a powerful reality creator. Open your heart. It's safe. Trust that you, as this beautiful light being, will fulfill your mission. It's not beyond you. You don't carry the world on your shoulders. You're just healing yourself and lifting into states of joy. It's doable because of who you are. It is natural to you to do this. As you are in this place of safety and love, feeling the peace, remembering who you are, you notice a presence. A beautiful light presence coming your way. There's a form there, but it's so bright, at first it's hard to see who it is. But as it gets closer, you look and startled. Oh my! This is me. This is another me. But this me is so much more brighter. This me is so much more radiant. This me knows so much more and so much happier. My, look at that. Amazing. And then you realize you've been working with your past selves. You remember the child and the adolescent self, the young adult self. They're nowhere to be around, be seen right now. And then you realize this is another self of yours. And then it hits you. It's your future. The self you are becoming in a period of time. Perhaps a year, only a year, maybe two, no more than that in the future. Maybe only 7 or 8 months. Nothing closer than that. But somewhere in that range, you could sense it. Between 7 or 8 months and 2 years, somewhere in the future, there's this you. This you who has stepped beyond the limitations of shame and relationships. The you who can stand up for themselves, who loves themselves, who knows who they are, who has wonderful relationships of all kinds. This you. Now, we know, and you probably can guess too, you have many different potential futures. But this happens to be one of them. This happens to be one that you desire. Because this future self has relationships that are just awesome. So much love, so much joy, so much celebration. You can feel the love and presence of this self. More than what you have now, you can feel the expansion more, so much more than what you have now. And this self looks at you with so much love and compassion. Not pity, no, but compassion. They know what you have gone through. They know where you're at. They know how much love you have and how much more there is potential for you. They're really there for you. Feel their love. A light beam comes out of their heart and comes to your heart. Let that light beam just come over very gently to your heart and touch it and go in your heart. Ah, oh, let your heart and their heart be connected. Feel the connection, heart to heart, the love, heart to heart. Oh, it feels so good. Unconditionally accepting of you. No judgments. They're not going to teach you how to be better. They're not going to tell you where you've gone wrong, what you're doing so badly, so poorly, so that you'll shape up. No, they're not going to do any of that. They're going to love you the way that you love yourself and others in a healing relationship, in a healthy relationship. They know what it's about. Feel yourself drawn to go to them now. Just walk gently up to them. Stand in front, face to face. You know, they're basically the same height as you are. They look like you. You're kind of looking at yourself in a mirror, looking at a reflection of you, of the future. You stand there, face to face, only a foot or two away. You get closer and closer, and they open their arms, and so do you. Let yourself now step up to them and embrace. Let them hold you. Let them put their arms of light around you. Let yourself feel their love. Feel their strength of knowing who they are. Feel their trust for themselves. Feel their celebration and joy and the amount of love that they must have in their life because it's just spilling into you, spilling all over you. Feels delicious. Let yourself just drink it up. Let them touch you. Your future loves you. This is the future. You can choose. Do you choose it? If so, claim it now. This is the future I choose. Out of all the possible futures, I'm going to go with this one. This is where I'm heading. This is what I anticipate. This is where I'm going. This is what I desire. Here's where I'm coming to. This one who can love and be loved. This one who can understand and be understood. This one who can hear and listen and be listened to. This one who knows who they are and knows who others are too. Who can be visible, who can be recognized, who can be seen by others fearlessly because this one lives in safety. They're in their power. They own their reality creatorship. Feel them hold you. Feel this incredible strength of theirs, of this energy. Feel the resonance. Feel the lightness. Feel the freedom that they have. They're not taking anything personally. They don't have to be defensive. They haven't been defensive in ages now. They can hear what anyone has to say. They can understand many different points of view. They're free to make their choices based on who they are as light beings. Step into them now. Just step in. Enter into their body of light. Turn around. Look through their eyes. Feel the incredible love and light. Just stretch your imagination. Just stretch. Stretch, stretch, stretch. How great could it be? How possibly phenomenal could this magical light being be? Stretch. Feel the freedom, the light, the capacity to love, to be safe and vulnerable at the same time. Relish the power, the strength, the joy. And as you look through their eyes, feeling all these wonderful feelings, it's almost as if your brain is functioning better. You think better, you feel better. It's all vibrating in a beautiful love, pulsing in light and oneness. You see in front of you another person. A relationship of your future could be one you're in now. It could be one that you call to come to you. It could be a future lover if you are single. It could be a family member resolved, healed, moving with you together to a new level of relationship. This individual, look at them. There they are, standing there. You don't see their features that distinctly because they also are very bright, like your future self was when you first saw it. Don't try to focus on their features just enough to either identify them as someone you already know or someone that's coming in the future. They stand there. Your loved one, ready for you to love them. This is the loved one of your future self. Feel the love for this one. Maybe if it's someone who is to come, you may not know them that well. But let yourself feel the familiarity, the comfortableness, the safety and the freedom. Let them open their heart to you. Feel a beam of light from their heart to your heart and from your heart to theirs. Connect. Connect with them. Walk up to them. Take them by the hands. Look into the eyes of light. They're liquid pools of light. And say, "Dear one, I commit to you to to be the best person that I truly am, owning who I am. I commit to you to stay present, to love. I relinquish any vows made in any other lifetime or any vows from earlier in this lifetime who have bound me at any point from experiencing total love. I release them now so that you and I can be totally free to explore the limits and potentials of love. I respect you, and I expect you to respect me. I make it safe for you, and I expect you to make it safe for me. And if you don't, I will still make it safe for you, and I will make it safe for me. I will open my passion, my joy, my celebration. I'll present who I am to you. I'll be honest with you. I won't hold things from you. I won't play games with you. I'll be who I am with you. I'll love you from that place with no judgment and total acceptance. I have no desire to fix you. That's your choice or not. I choose to play with you on levels of light, higher and greater. I'm willing to see the divine in you and own the divine in me. I'm willing to commune in oneness with you. Feel the response in turn that as you say, as you complete this, you hear the other say, yes, I agree that this relationship is so beautiful with so much potential love. I too agree. I too choose these things. You find yourself lifting. You feel yourself just lifting. And they lift. And the two of you just start lifting up into the sky to fly together. Holding hands, one hand of yours to one hand of theirs. You open the other arm and the two of you lift and fly. Through clouds, through spaces beyond. You lift through more clouds, and then you lift above the clouds. And you hover there like angels, shimmering, brilliant, and look at each other, and you see the divine in the other. You see the light. You see their chakras lit up, the root chakra, second chakra, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh at the crown. You see these seven glowing orbs of light in their body. And from each orb of light, a beam of light comes to you. And from each one of your chakras in your body, a beam of light goes to theirs. Not just heart to heart, but each chakra, seven beams of light from you to them and from them to you. Bonding you, connecting you, aligning you, healing you. Freeing you. And you laugh and you say, I remember. I will remember this in my physical body. I'll remember this when the time is. And they nod agreement. Yes, they will too. As you let go of your hands, as you let both of you drift, perhaps higher into the stratosphere, but this time by yourselves, to find your connection to the divine, to feel the connection with the greatness and the oneness of all that is, to lift beyond the matrix of illusion, to touch the realness of your divinity. Let yourself lift, 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 and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And then at some point, you begin to make out something in all the bright light. There is a grand throne, a throne of light, and sitting upon it, a glorious being of light. Is that God, the goddess, all that is? Is that the personification of the divine? You say as you come closer, and suddenly you're aware, no. It's, yes, it's me. I am that divine. This is me, the God, goddess, all that is in me, in form. This is truly who I am. And the light is as bright as 9 suns placed upon each other, 9 times the sun. So bright. But you're seeing it through eyes of light, and therefore it doesn't burn or destroy, but lifts you to higher resonances, to make you so much light you look down at your arms and legs of your body of light, and every particle in light in your body, billions of particles of light, grow brighter and brighter and brighter. And you step up to this one sitting there on the throne who stands to greet you. Step into this one. Step into the God of you. Turn around. Look out their eyes and see the creation. See your world. And now choose for your world, with your love, what you wish for it. The healing that you wish for your world. You don't have to carry this yourself. It's your healing, your choice. You, the reality creator, God, goddess, all that is, in a point of focus called you. You, the individual spark. As you look out across your world, across your reality, you see all the other sparks, all the other people, all the animals, all the plants, everything. It's all made of the same substance as you. It is all one. Everything is kin. Everything is one. And remember this. Remember this, because there may come a time that you find yourself in a dark place emotionally. Remember this place. By remembering this place, you will lift yourself right out of it. There's no need for you to feel depression, anxiety, or pain of the emotional body. Remember who you are. Remember this. It's indescribable. Just let yourself imbibe it now. Imprint it upon your consciousness. Imprint it in every cell of your body. You are this. You are one with all that is. And now bring it back to your body. Bring it back to your body awareness. As you sit or lie in meditation, back into your body, bring your divinity awareness back into every cell of your body, every cell of your light body, reminding every cell of your physical body of who you are. Back to you in the present. There you go. And as you are here in this body, feeling its body, just doing its body thing, breathing, feeling, you feel a shimmer of light around you. And you remember, oh yes, that's us. Galexis is with you. And you hear us chuckle. You hear us laugh in your mind and tell you, dear one, we'll be around through thick and thin and for the celebration as well. You only have to call on us just by looking up that sky of stars, and we'll come and be with you. What a journey, eh? What a wonderful pathway into your future and to a greater life of being who you are, healing yourself, the world. And so now, giving your body that imprint as you have, it is now time to return to your consciousness of your everyday life, but not with an everyday consciousness. We're going to count you to back out. At the count of three, you'll be back out and you can open your eyes and become more aware of your room and your space. For it is now done. The connections are made. The linkages have been set. The path, the process is set in motion of your healing. One, two, and three. Gently, gently, gently let your eyes open. Very gently. Coming back into the room. Very easy. As we said, any time you need to or desire to, just simply remember. Remember who you are. Remember the glory, the beauty, the power, and the strength. You're becoming this. And any time you wish to call on us for any assistance, we'll be very happy to work with you. We work with you very well at night. As you go to sleep, we can work on you through the night. So see that sky of stars call on us. Let us come down as a beam of light in the most appropriate color for that night. For you, surrounding you, all you have to do is just mentally call Galexis and we'll come down. We'll surround you and you can tell us, listen, I'd like you to work on this particular thing or that particular thing, physical ailment or a relationship issue or whatever it is. And hear us say yes. Just sense it. And just go on to sleep and we'll work. We'll work on you. Anticipate that when you wake up in the morning, it will feel better. It will be a little better. And not just because some issue sunk down in the subconscious and unconscious and pretty much got submerged. No. We'll work on you. We'll work on a chakra, an issue, a piece of something for you. Maybe one, maybe two, no more than three. So we can focus too. Really work on something so you can have a good feedback of it in your life. We've certainly enjoyed working with you today. We've had quite a pleasure. Fun to see all the light that you are and to see it grow brighter. A light that you're going to spread around the world more and more as time goes by. But we must go now and you must go about your lives and bring your light to your world. So we look forward to any other time that we can work with you. And for now, we surround you, dear ones, with our light and our love. Farewell.